beat keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Yeah, the big beat keeps you rocking in your sleep.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Well, you clap your hands and then you stomp your feet. You got to move when you hear that beat. The big beat keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Old grandpa just to make 80 years old. Oh, man, he's crazy about this rockin' and roll. Big beat gets in your soul. It makes you jump and then it makes you roll. Old Grandpa Hall just make 80 years old.
Oh, big beat, baby.
Big leg Joe, he threw his crutch away. The big beat makes you act this way. Well, come on, gang, let's swing and sway. The big beat makes you act this way. Peg leg Joey, he threw his crutch away.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
So get out the broom, sweep the place clean, and dust off the mat so the welcome can be seen.
Cow, cow, one and number two. Jiggy along, a jiggy, jiggy, full of hubble. Now ride, clock a lucky, one and number. He ride, air, one and double hubble. Rain down, a sun, let it jiggle more. Now ride, a hubble, and a blubble. Rain ride, a gun, and a lubble. Cala, lemon, and a blubble.
Do that again.
Do 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 bom.
Did you ever hear of a wish sandwich? Well, it's the kind of a sandwich that you're supposed to take two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat.
Do 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 do.
Did you ever hear of a ricochet biscuit? Well, it's the kind of a biscuit that's supposed to bounce off the wall back in your mouth. If it don't bounce back, you go hungry.
Do 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 bum.
The other day, I ate a cool water sandwich and a Sunday go to meat and bun.
Do 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 bum.
What you want for nothing? A rubber biscuit?
Do 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 bow.
Cow cow.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the May 12th, 2011 edition of the Big Beat Show. My name is Lou Rollo, and I have a very, very special show for you tonight. Very special guest. As a matter of fact, I'm going to introduce him to you right now. To my right, to your left, if you're watching on TV, I have with me Sammy Strain, Hall of Famer Sammy Strain, right here on the Big Beat Show to talk about some of the music on which he sang. And welcome to the Big Beat Show, Sammy.
Oh, my pleasure, Lou. Listen, I'm loving this music.
Well, yeah, you should love it. That we just played an alternate take, actually, of Rubber Biscuit by The Chips, which came out on the Josie label, of course, and you were on that record, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely, and I've never heard the alternate take.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to tell, if you ask me, what's so alternate about it, but that's what it says here on this CD, so that's what we play. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Sammy, about your early days, where you grew up, early influences, and how you got involved with the music, please.
Oh, well, I grew up in Brooklyn. And this was in the mid-50s, of course, 1956, and Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers were out, and I guess there was a group on every corner in Brooklyn, and some guys I went to school with one day asked me, hey, man, can you sing First Tenor? We're looking for First Tenor. I said, sure, I can sing First Tenor.
Yeah.
And that night, we had our first rehearsal. We sound pretty good. And a couple of months later, Duke Baldwin, where we used to rehearse at the Duke Baldwin Studios, he was a dance instructor. He took us to Josie for an audition, and they loved Rubber Biscuit immediately. And we were in the studio, I guess, 2 days later, recording Oh My Darling and Rubber Biscuit.
Yeah, we're going to hear Oh My Darling in just a moment. But the Chips, here, I want you to check with me the names I have for the Chips, or Nathaniel Epps.
Absolutely. That's, or Little John. We used to call him Little John.
That's right, Little John. He was the one who originated that song, if I'm not...
No,
right.
No. No? Charles Johnson. Charles Kinrod Johnson.
Okay, I got, yeah, Kinrod Johnson. Now, Paul Fulton, was he a member?
Yes, he sang bass.
And Shedrick Lincoln.
Lincoln, or Bubby, we called him.
Okay, and Sam Strain. Now, that's you.
Yes.
I'll tell you, folks, yeah. we're really glad to have Sam Strain here. And I think we're really going to enjoy this show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... You met them, they called you up, in other words, you didn't know them from the street or anything like
no,
that?
No, no. I went to school with Paul Fulton and Teddy Black, but I hadn't seen them because I stopped going to that school. And Shedrick Lincoln, or Bubby, we used to live in the same neighborhood when I lived up on Bergen Street and Grand Avenue. And I was out of school at this time. I had just turned, I guess I'd been 16 for quite a few months, but anyway... It was early spring, and he was selling vegetables on a cart with a horse.
Really?
And he turned the corner, and he saw me. He said, hey, Sammy, how you doing? I said, hey, Bubby. He said, you remember Teddy Black and Paul Fulton? I said, yeah, we went to school together, PS45. He said, well, we're starting a group, man. We're looking for a first tenor. Can you sing tenor? And I said, yeah. And he picked me up about 6 o'clock that afternoon, and we had our first rehearsal, and that's how the group started.
And what did you think of the song Rubber Biscuit? It was certainly different. I'm sure, you know, the ballad was, Oh My Darling, was a great ballad, but Rubber Biscuit was quite unique.
Well, when at that time, we didn't have Rubber Biscuit, and at that time, it was just four of us. Teddy Black ended up leaving the group, and then we got Kinrod Johnson, who sang lead, yeah. and Nathaniel Epps, a Lil Jon, and then it was five of us. And we would walk around the street, and what happened, Rubber Biscuit became from a cadence that they used to do is at this youth home for boys. And instead of saying left, right, Kinrod started saying, high, low, on the one, a dibble, hubba, do, jigga, low, on the jiggle, hold, hubba. And that's how the song came about, and we put the breaks in it with the little... Oh, the other day I had a cold water sandwich and Sonny go meet the bun. So that's how the song came about. We knew the song was crazy because every time we sang it, people would just go mad. And we didn't know that we would end up recording it. Well, Duke Baldwin heard it, and everybody loved Oh My Darling.
Now, who's that, Duke who?
Duke Baldwin. He was he had a dance studio in the Elks Club in Brooklyn on Fulton Street and Clawson Avenue. And he had a dance show on WOR, a children's show called The Merry Mailman.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
His little kids used to tap on The Merry Mailman.
Okay.
And so he decided he liked what he heard, and a lot of groups would rehearse at his studios. Groups like the Chesters, groups like the DuPonts that Anthony came out of, the Continentals used to rehearse up there sometimes, and just different groups in the area. Well, he liked Rubber Biscuit, and everybody would just fall out. So he took us to Josie Records. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but they loved what they heard. And the next day, we came back with our parents to sign the contracts. And 2 days later, we were in the studio.
Was it the head man at Josie, Jerry Blaine, maybe from Jubilee Josie? You don't know.
I don't even remember.
Okay. And it was Ray Heatherton who was the Merry Mailman. That was his name.
Oh, okay.
Ray
okay.
Heatherton.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's quite interesting. Now, let me ask you this question now. You got hooked up with Josie. Then, you're going to rehearse the song and get ready to go. Was it exciting? What was it like when you woke up on August 3rd, 1956, and knew that day you were going to the studio to record a record? What did that feel like to you?
Well, you know what? We had been singing the song so long, and I guess we were really too young to think about it.
All right.
I guess the thing foremost in our minds was, we're going to get a chance to be as big as Frankie Lyon and the Teenagers.
Okay, well, that's a legitimate
right, feeling. Right. You know, so, there was no fear because we had been walking around singing the song forever. And We recorded on August 3rd, you say?
Yeah, August
3rd. Well, then we must have signed last week of July, because we recorded it immediately.
Yeah,
so there wasn't even time to think about it. And back in those days, they would record more than one group at a time.
Yeah.
So, but I do remember King Curtis playing horn, Ernie Hayes on piano, Panama Francis played drums, Mickey Guitar Baker played guitar. So I remember that lineup because they were famous musicians, you know. But no, there was no fear, and we couldn't wait till the song came out, because we thought we were gonna be the biggest thing since Candy.
Well, I didn't mean fear; I meant excitement. You know, youthful excitement.
We were excited.
Yeah, okay.
We were even more excited though when we ended up on the Tommy Smalls, Dr. Jive's Thanksgiving show at the Apollo, that Thanksgiving, which was a few months later.
Yeah.
To be on the show with the Cadillacs, who were headlining. Bo Diddley, the Dells had just come out with Over the Night, the Heartbeats with 1,000 Miles Away, the Schoolboys with Please Say You Want Me Too, Robert and Johnny was on the show, the Debutantes. It was just overwhelming. Now, that was overwhelming.
Yeah, I guess that would be.
And I stood in the wings every show and watched every act, and of course the Cadillacs were just screaming with those Charlie Atkins steps. And I also almost quit show business that week.
You quit?
I almost quit because we were the worst act on the show.
Really?
Well, we had no stage presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't know how to bow. I remember Honey Cole telling we shared the room with a dressing room with the Dells and the Schoolboys, and they were polished, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So Honey Cole came to the dressing room. He says, hey, "Listen, one of you guys teach these guys how to back up together, at least bow together."
Mm-hmm.
Then it got progressively worse, because the third day he came in and said, "Hey, listen, guys, don't even do that second song, Oh My Darling. Just do your hit record, Rubber Biscuit, and that'll be sufficient." So,
is that what you did with the one song?
Yeah, absolutely. After 3 days, because we were losing it. I mean, and then by us not having stage presence or anything like that, they didn't boo us, but we got polite applause. And of course, they laughed at the little funny little breaks. But it wasn't like what those other professionals got.
Yeah.
So, but we stood in the wings, Paul Fulton and myself, every show. And 2 or 3 weeks later, we played the State Theater in Hartford, Connecticut, with the Moonglows, the Five Keys, Eddie Cooley and the Dimples, a guy named Don Arondo. And what we had done, Paul and I, we had stole little routines from everybody, and we learned how to bow. We had a couple of little steps. And that first morning at the State Theater, Hartford, Connecticut, when we ran out on stage in our new uniforms and did our little presentation, and the girls started screaming as I was exiting the stage, I said, "Show business is my life."
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure that changed your mind. About
yes, it did. But I didn't know that this group would only be together for about 17 months.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about Oh My Darling. Now, when you went into the studio to do Oh My Darling, had you rehearsed that like this a lot?
We had sang that a lot. And here's what they did. The actual ending of the song was the intro. I haven't heard in so long, but there's a little sing-along at the end.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually how we started it.
Okay.
So whoever was producing it said, you know what, let's save that for the end.
Yeah.
And let's just go into it, you know, with the musical intro that we have.
Right.
You know, and it worked out pretty good.
And did you do any other songs out there, just those two recordings?
Those two recordings, and what happened, we had rehearsed a new song, or wrote a new song called Tongue Tied Baby, which was similar to Rubber Biscuit, but not as comical.
Right.
I mean, it had more melodic content to it. And we were working on something else, but they never called us back. First of all, we thought after we played the Apollo and the State Theater that we were getting ready to perform all over the world, not knowing that we only had a regional hit, I thought, at that time.
Yeah.
But we didn't have proper management. We weren't signed with the agency.
Right.
So it's sort of, after 17 months, the group broke up. I found out years later, though, when I first met Otis Williams and the Temptations at the Murdy K Show, Rubber Biscuit was the first record that he ever bought.
Wow.
And then by the time we flew to California in the 60s, after singing Now with Lil Anthony Imperials, we went to do Shindig and Hollywood Go-Go and all those shows, a lot of people out there was telling me that Rubber Biscuit was one of their favorite records.
Wow.
So we had no idea that it was actually played from coast to coast and did well in other cities, but we didn't know. And it was the embryo stage of rock and roll at that time. You're talking about 1956.
Yeah. Well, why don't we flip it over and listen? Give a listen to Oh My Darling.
Sure, you're right.
Here it is, The Chips. Pretty nice, I'll tell you right.
Thank you very much. It sounds good. I haven't heard it in years.
Yeah, you should. You should have. You told me your record was kind of destroyed, huh?
I don't have a copy of that or Rubber Biscuit.
Okay, so that's the chart. The Chips. Sammy Strain, by the way, my special guest. All right, let's talk about this record now. The Fantastics, which was called. You have two records by the Fantastics that were issued, right? There goes my. There goes my love, and this is my wedding day.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we're gonna play. This is There Goes My Love tonight, at least. And I have a funny feeling you're going to come back next week to finish, because this is going to take much more than one night.
Well, I will be back next week.
All right, great. That's good. So we've got plenty of time, because there's a lot of music to play and a lot of things to talk about, too.
Right.
I hope everybody's enjoying this so far. Let's talk about the Fantastics now. How'd you get together with that group?
Well, once again, same neighborhood. James Sutton, his family lived on the first floor in the apartment building I lived in. So we grew up together. Fred Warner, he lived around the corner on Leffert's Place, and I knew him from the same place I knew one of the Chips when I lived up on Bergen Street.
Right.
We went to the same school, PS 42, I think, on Clawson Avenue and St. Mark's Avenue. And Sonny Forrest, I used to live next door to him on Putnam Avenue, so I knew his family. And Larry, I used to see at the Empire Roller Rink. He was in a skating club called the Bandanas. So I sort of knew everybody, and they were singing. When I was in the Chips, they had a group called the Pharaohs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they changed. Well, when we got together, one of the guys dropped out, and they decided to name the group, the Fantastics. And I just stepped right in, because the guy who was singing first tenor, he wasn't making rehearsals, so I just came to rehearsal and just started singing with the group.
Okay, and then how long? Where did you practice? In each other's homes?
We used to practice at Larry's house, at Freddie's house. Basically, Larry and Freddie's
house.
And
how often did you do that rehearsal?
rehearsing? Twice a week.
Twice a week. Yeah. And you had pretty big repertoire with the Fantastics then, right?
Oh, yeah, because we, even the things that I didn't realize we had recorded enough things to actually put on an album, but somebody put an album out.
The CD album, you mean, the CD, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's an album.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, what happened, we sang a lot of standards mm-hmm. also, everything from The Autumn Leaves to you name it, and then we started making these songs up. Sonny Forrest wrote most of these songs.
Yeah.
There's a tune on there called Buddy's Girl that Richard Barrett wrote and produced on the Fantastics.
We're gonna play that here tonight.
Yeah, that's a great record.
Before I play, There Goes My Love, which was produced by a guy named Charles Green, apparently.
I guess I don't remember.
That's the name that's on the record. I don't know if you knew him.
No.
In the late '60s, it became a big thing in New York when a disc jockey named Gus Gossert used to play it on Sunday nights, and people went crazy over it. I think it sold more records then than it did when it first came out. I may be wrong.
It probably did.
Huge in New York City.
It probably did.
Yeah. So I want to give Gus Gossert a little credit. But right now, we're going to play this recording by the Fantastics, and I think this was recorded May 21st, 1959.
Scared of you.
And we're going to hear it right now from a 40, my 45 RPM record. Here, this is a great record, everybody. Here it goes.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. Hello, this is Richard Barrett of the Valentines, and welcome to the Big Beat Show.
All right, thank you, Richard. thank you, Sonny Strain, for being here too. Let's get back to what we just heard. That unreleased. But what was the RCA studio like? Was that high class or?
Yes, it was great. It was downtown Manhattan on 22nd Studio. But that particular song, Buddy's Girl, wasn't recorded at RCA. That was never released, and my second Earth Angel, Richard Barrett, wrote and produced that, and we did that, I think, at Bell Sound. And what happened, and ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I say Richard, I've had three Earth Angels in my life. The first one was Shedrick Bubby Lincoln, who helped one of the founders of the Chips, and when he turned the corner and asked me could I sing, that started the ball rolling. My second Earth Angel was Richard Barrett, because he was responsible for me singing with Little Anthony and the Imperials, who I was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with. And my third Earth Angel was a gentleman by the name of Charlie Atkins, who taught the Cadillacs and everybody at Motown, the Frankie Lyman Teenagers, how to do all that choreography. And because of him, I was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a second time with the OJs. So I am a two-time inductee and a recipient of the Rhythm and Blues Pioneer Award.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to, on behalf of all my listeners, I want to congratulate you on that. And there's very few people that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice.
I think there's a total of 16 of us. Yeah. But the only other person from a vocal group to a vocal group was Johnny Carter of the Dells.
Yeah.
He got inducted with the Flamingos first, and then years later with the Dells.
Okay, great. So that was, now we're going to go to another group in which you sang, a group called the Impact?
Absolutely, and once again, my Earth Angel, Richard Barrett, this was the first record he produced on us on Carlton Records.
Tell us a little bit about what that studio was like, how you got with this group, et cetera, if you could.
The Impacts were some guys that I knew, you know, from the neighborhood when they came out with a record called Soup and Canadian Sunset and a couple of other records. They say, and for some reason, we used to hang out together, and the Impacts sort of splintered and broke up, and Paul and I, we weren't doing anything, so we decided to hook up with them. And we became the New Impacts, and Richard took us to Carlton Records, and we recorded Darling Now You Mind.
Were the Impacts Robert Baber?
No. It was Horace Brooks.
Charles Maddox?
No.
Kenny Seymour?
No.
All right, it's a different group.
Okay, yes. The New Impacts were Kenny Seymour, Paul Fulton, Steve Leibowitz, Horace Brooks, and Sammy Strain.
Okay.
The original Impacts was Helen Powell, Kenny Seymour, Robert Baber, Steve Leibowitz, and Horace Brooks.
Okay.
And Charles Maddox did Canadian Sunset just that one time because Steve had gone on a vacation during the summer, and he missed the recording session.
Right, and you were not on Canadian Sunset.
No,
okay.
No, I was still singing with the Fantastics.
Okay, let's play. What do you have by the? We have
Darling Now You're Mine.
Darling Now You're Mine
by the Impacts.
Coming up by the Impacts.
No. You know. Thank you. precious. There is nothing more precious than you.
That, the Impacts. Why don't you tell us, Sammy Strain, about what we just heard there, those Impacts records.
Well, that was the first record that we recorded for Carlton. Richard Barrett produced it, of course, and wrote both sides. It was a blast. As you can see, the vocal ability has grown from the time I started singing Rubber Biscuit to the Fantastics, now to the Impacts. And Richard, by the way, from the Fantastics to the Impacts to the Imperials, Richard Barrett has always been a part of my life. He was like a big brother. And when I met him when I was in the Fantastics, when we did Buddy's Girl, one day I was staying off Fulton Street and my mom came around the corner and she said, there's a guy around the corner looking for you named Richard Barrett or something. I said, oh, wow. She said, yeah, he got a big car. So I turned the corner. Richard had this black Imperial Chrysler convertible, looked like a diamond, had the top back, and he had on a black slacks and a shirt with a white hat and white shoes. And he saw me coming, and he started smiling. Hey, little brother, how you been? I said, Richard, what are you doing over here? He said, I told you I was going to come surprise you. Well, I thought, out of all the millions of people in New York City and all the groups and people that he had met, and he had produced the Chantels and Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers and Lil Anthony and the Imperials, I said, how did this guy end up over here, you know, hanging out with me? And it became a regular thing, and he took me under his wing, and one day he called me up while I was singing with the Impacts, who became the Blue Chips, and said, hey man, you want to sing with the Imperials? So I said, what? He said, yeah man, the Lil Anthony Imperials broke up, and Ernest and Clarence told me immediately, call Sammy up, because Ernest and I went to high school together. And I knew Clarence, because him and Anthony went to Boys High. So I couldn't believe it. And they said, meet me the next day at 1650 Broadway at 12 noon. I met him. Clarence and Ernest was jumping up and down. We were hugging and whatnot. And they were auditioning guys, and I thought I had to audition. And we auditioned a guy named Sidney Barnes, a guy named George Kerr, and a couple other guys, of course. And I said, well, when do I audition? They said, you sing first tenor, don't you? I said, yeah. They said, well, you're in the group. Yeah. So
looking for a lead.
Well, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. But they knew I could sing lead also.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
What happened, we chose George Kerr, and that's when we did this first stuff for Carlton Records. But that's how I met him, while I was still singing with the Fantastics. And then he was Earth Angel with the Impacts and the Blue Chips. And he's always been in my life, you know.
Yeah, you're very fortunate for that to have happened. You know, yeah, I think. Now, where the Impacts? Where did they do clubs or what kind of performances did you do professionally?
Would you believe this? We never did any shows.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, we never did any show, and the group was great.
Yeah.
Now, years later, when I left the group and went with the Imperials, and I think they recorded with Teddy also, they had a nightclub back. I used to go see them at the Elegant, the 500 Club on Queens Boulevard. I mean, I would go. They had a nightclub back that was next to none. They had a segment in their show where they would sing any song doing a personality. They could do everybody from Frank Sinatra to Anthony.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, these guys, I mean, talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did impressions. They danced. They told jokes. They were just fantastic.
Where did you rehearse with this group? Houses too?
Yeah, same thing. We would we rehearsed at Kenny Seymour's house. Uh-huh. Basically, all rehearsals with the Impacts we did at Kenny Seymour's house. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I said before when I played My Buddy's Girl for your listeners, that also was a fantastic. I may have said that, but I'm not sure I did.
Yeah, that was the fantastic. Yeah. And that was the great James Sutton singing lead, who was one of my favorite singers in the group. And he said that I was his famous lead vocalist in the group. But so we were a mutual admiration society when it came to that. Also, can I do a shout out?
Sure.
This shout out is for my big brother, John Peanut Jones of the Continentals, and Danny Hicks. Yay!
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and to my lovely wife, Deborah, I love you. She's my best friend, by the way.
Great, that's really wonderful. Okay. Now, after the Impacts became, we did the Blue Chips, right? But before we get into talking about the Blue Chips a minute, mm-hmm. I want to take a little side thing. I want to ask you about some of disc jockeys, some interesting stories or odd stories or about Jocko, Alan Freed. Tell me about Jocko, because he was my all-time favorite.
Well, Jocko, I didn't get a chance to meet Jocko until years later, but, I mean, he was, first time I saw Jocko, he had a rocket ship show at the Apollo.
Yep.
And I had heard that he was, you know, popular in Philadelphia. So I got a chance to see his rocket ship show, and I knew him from afar. I wasn't in show business yet when I first saw Jocko.
Okay, yeah.
But then years later, of course, I met him, you know, in Philadelphia. But the first disc jockey I ever met was Tommy Smalls, Dr. Jive, mm-hmm. because I did his Thanksgiving show at the Apollo with the Dells and him in 1956. Then, of course,
the Chips.
Right, with the Chips in 1956. Right. And then I guess one of the, and I had met Alan Freed, but the disc jockey that I had the most, I would say the biggest relationship with was Murray the K, because we did so many Murray the K shows, and that's where I got a chance to become brothers with the Temps and the Miracles and the Tops and Martha and the Vandellas and Mary Wells and Dusty Springfield, Tom Jones, The Times, The Chiffons.
This was as the Imperials.
Right, absolutely. Right. You know, that's when the industry had changed. So we were like, we would be in that theater for 10 days doing 5 shows a day, and we sort of became family, you know. Yeah. So I got a chance to meet some of Dick and Dee Dee. I mean, just a cross-section of people.
What about Dick Clark?
Oh, of course. Did Dick Clark tours. I remember one tour we were doing. And do it when Dick Clark had his tours out, he would have 3 tours out at the same time. He would have one on the West Coast, coming from the West to the East, but Northern route. He'd have one on the East Coast, going from East to West in the Southern route. And he'd have one up in Canada, coming in and out and whatnot. But he would catch a plane and just MC different tours for X amount of days. Well, one night, I had to go to the bathroom, and the bus had stopped. So, you know how people lay on the armrest of the, you know, of the seats? I was walking on the armrest, and when I got to the next to the driver, I was going to jump down on the floor, and somebody turned over in their sleep, and it was Dick. I almost jumped in his face. So I'd have probably broke his nose. And I said, "Dick, what are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, the guy, he picked me up about 1 o'clock in the morning. I think in one of those airports." And I said, "You better tell somebody when you get on the bus." And the bus was so crowded, he was sleeping on the floor. But I had a great relationship with him. I did his TV shows, of course, where the action is. And I guess, and then, of course, through the years, Porky Chadwick.
Yep.
Oh man, Sir Lancelot. They were
Joe Niagara was. Did you know him? Pennsylvania.
No, I don't think so. Right. But disc jockeys in Pittsburgh, disc jockeys in Florida, in Atlanta, back in the '50s, up in Rhode Island. I remember the first television show I ever did was with the Fantastics with "There Goes My Love," and we did it with the Fireflies and Phil Phillips. Had just come out with The Sea of Love.
And where was this TV show?
Either in Rhode Island, someplace north. It was either in Boston or Rhode Island.
Okay, yeah.
Because that was the first time I ever heard the Fireflies tune. Mm-hmm. And then I also had the pleasure of working the Howard Theater while I was with the Fantastics. We played the Howard Theater with the Mellow Kings, which were one of my favorite groups.
Yeah, I love the Mellow Kings, too. Now, before we go any further, I want to acknowledge that Frank Chile is here. Hi, Frank. Frank was kind enough to be the chauffeur, actually, for Sammy.
It was an honor. Well,
yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it was my pleasure.
But it's very kind of you to do that, and in support of me also, which I really, really respect. And you were always there as backup for me in any songs that I needed that I didn't have that you had for this show and next week. And thank you very much for being here.
Sure, you're right.
By the way, folks, next week, this is just the beginning of Sammy's, we're 3/4 of the way through the show already. We're just about started. But next week we'll be talking a lot about Little Anthony Imperials and a little bit more about the OJs.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, and we'll see how that goes and how far, and more stories, Sammy, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Lou, I've been very blessed. I was in show business from 1956 until 2004 for 48 years.
Yeah.
And I've sang with 5 groups. I started with the Chips, then the Fantastics, the Impacts, the Imperials, and the Mighty OJs. And I've had great success, even with the Chips, even though we were together for a short time, but that was my introduction to the business. And I have had the time of my life for 48 years. It seems like a blimp, you know. And I just realized, after being retired since 2004, that I was actually living my dream. Mm-hmm. So I feel very blessed. God is good. And you have no idea, any young people listening to this show or anybody, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it, that it can't be done, because it's not on them. They're not in control of your journey. Mm-hmm. So no one can stop your blessings but you.
Yeah. Now, all right. Thank you very much. That's very well said. And I'm really glad you said that. The Impacts became the Blue Chips. Is that correct?
Yeah. You'll love this story.
Okay.
We were at RCA, and for some reason, Steve Leibowitz and Kenny Seymour said, "Man, let's change the name of the group from the Impacts. You know, maybe we need a change." So I said, "Well, what do you want to call the group?" So they said, "Well, let's call it the Chips." So I said, "You really want to call the group the Chips?" He said, "Yeah, man. Listen, Rubber Biscuit." So I said, "No, man, not just the Chips." So because there's been a pause in between Rubber Biscuit and now the Fantastics, now with the Impacts. So in the lobby at the same time was a gentleman who was a football player getting ready to retire and start singing, Rosie Greer.
Yep.
So Rosie Greer says, "Well, why don't you call yourself the Blue Chips?" And that's how the name the Blue Chips came about.
Yeah. Rosie Greer had a very short career. I have a couple of his records. Though, so let's listen to this record by the Blue Chips, and we're talking about Puddles of Tears.
Absolutely. On RCA.
Okay, here it is. Puddles of Tears by the Blue Chips on the Big Beat Show.
Boom, boom.
La, 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 the night you walked out on me, I cried. Now let me tell you how I cried. Tears, they fell like raindrops.
puddles of tears.
Oh, puddles of tears.
Puddles of tears.
Yeah.
Puddles of
tears.
To get that one in. That's another Fantastics recording that I wanted to play for you. And that one is called Poor Little Dancing Doll on United Artists. How did Fantastics get from RCA to United Artists to do that recording?
We didn't go to United Artists.
Well, how did somebody bring you there?
What RCA did was probably buy the master, and that's how it came, or lease the master, and that's how that came out.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, well, they leased masters, yeah. I come to find out, but that's how that happened. By the way, that was Little Dancing Doll. That was James Sutton again,
yeah.
That sang Buddy's Girl. He was one of my favorite lead vocalists in the group during that time. And I told you that earlier, and I just thought that if he sang everything, we'd have had a lot of smashes.
Yeah, the exact title is Dancing Doll, written by Sonny Forrest.
Yes.
And the other side is I Told You Once, written by Sonny Forrest, Larry Lawrence, and Sammy Strain.
Okay.
Actually, has your name misspelled here, by the way.
Yeah, let me,
look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Strange.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the teacher told, right.
But that's you.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
That's one side.
Right.
Now, so that was at least two United Artists. That is kind of weird, but they did it. Okay.
Yeah.
And the same group, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's like I've seen through the years a lot of songs that I have recorded, and they put out these compilations years later, and I see them on all kinds of strange labels.
Okay, we're gonna play Pookie Hudson on Double L Records, which I always used to think was for the two L's in Lloyd Price, but there was another guy who owned that company also, Harold Logan. Yeah, look.
Okay, Harold Logan was Lloyd Price's manager.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
And they were business partners, and that's how the Double L label started, Lloyd and Logan Records.
Yeah, right. And I see. Now, tell me about the record. You wrote this record.
Well, yeah, I wrote it with the rest of the Fantastics, basically, because we started singing it together. But what happened, I was with the Imperials now, and Richard was producing Pookie Hudson for Double L Records. And they were looking for songs. So we were in the office, and I said, Richard, I got a song that you'd like to sing with the Fantastics. I think it'd be great for Pookie. He said, no kidding. So I said, Pookie, I got a song for you I think you might like. He said, let's hear it. So we went in the office and I sang it, and we recorded the next day.
There's another name on the writing credit.
Well, B. Jr. Wait, well, okay.
Yeah. B. Jr., who's that?
That's Richard Barrett. Richard and myself. That's right. Yeah, right. So I gave him a third of the song, and because of the introduction, you know. And like, hey, I didn't know. It's like I heard tales like Jesse Belvin sold Earth Angel for $25.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, at that time, I just wanted somebody to do it and get in the office and, you know, and sing background with it. You know, it was great.
And you knew Pookie from being on tour?
I knew Pookie from being in the Spaniels. I saw him from afar at the Uptown when I came down to a Georgie Wood show to see Little Anthony Imperials the first time they performed on it. Pookie Hudson, Jerry Butler, a whole bunch of people, Dells was on the show. I didn't meet Pookie until years later when Richard Barrett produced him.
Yeah.
And we sort of hung out together and we became friends. Of course, from that point on, I mean, I would see him all the time and we became friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to play. This is apparently going to be the last recording that we can get in here tonight. Double L label. Okay, I have it on promo. But, it's been fascinating talking to you tonight, Sammy Strain. We're going to have you back next week.
It's my pleasure.
I know you're a fine gentleman and have a lot of knowledge and have a lot of clarity in delivering that knowledge, too.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and it's a lot of interesting stories that you have to tell. I know you're going to come back with some more next week, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Frank, you're going to drive him next week?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Then we can count. I hope your listeners really enjoyed tonight's show. And we're going to take it, as I said, with Pookie Hudson. Who's backing him up on this now?
The Imperials.
The Imperials, okay. And you're in the Imperials. Next week, we'll be doing a lot more about the Imperials and some about the OJs, too. I've been playing an a cappella CD for you guys. We'll be doing more from that, too.
I love that. That's one of my favorite CDs.
So thanks very much, and good night, Sammy. And,
my pleasure. Thank you, Lou.
Good night, everyone, and may harmony be with you until next time. And here is Pookie Hudson.
Hi, I am Pookie Hudson of the Spaniels, and you're listening to the Big Beat Show.
I know this love will last for years, and darling, I know that you were meant for me. I know that this love